from Jakarta. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in English program. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia presents news, actual information, as well as entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen to our broadcast on shortwave on frequencies of 3325 kilohertz. You can listen to our program at www.voinews.id. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying. Hello, for listener. Welcome back to English Bulletin over RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Stand by now for the news.
RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia with the news. This is Ani Hasana with the news. First, the headlines. Indonesian President is to attend the 33rd ASEAN Summit in Singapore. Indonesia focuses on Indo-Pacific at the ASEAN Summit. And other news in detail. Indonesian President Joko Widodo will attend the plenary session of the Association of Southeast Asian Nations Summit, or the 33rd ASEAN Summit, in November 13 in Sun City, Singapore. He will be accompanied by the Indonesian Minister of Foreign Affairs, Retno LP Marsudi. The Foreign Ministry's Director of External Cooperation, Benny Siahaan, told the media in Jakarta on Thursday, November the 8th, that President Joko Widodo would convey Indonesia's views in the session, including the crisis in the region, including the humanitarian crisis at the Rakhine State. Insert the dubbing. On November 13, there will be a plenary session. The President will convey the importance of ASEAN as a family, especially in facing the crisis in the region. Second, ASEAN will still help Myanmar to resolve the humanitarian crisis at the Rakhine State, also on the Indo-Pacific concept. Currently, there are about 7 outcomes that will be ratified. According to Benny Siahaan, the 7 outcomes that will be produced include the Smart Cities Framework proposed by Singapore, the ASEAN Declaration to support inclusive and equal employment, a joint statement on climate change, and a declaration for guidance on consular assistance. Meanwhile, on November the 14th, there will be an ASEAN meeting with its partner countries, namely the ASEAN Australia, ASEAN China, ASEAN Russia, and ASEAN Japan meetings. As for November the 15th, the ASEAN United States and ASEAN Plus 3 meetings will be held, as well as the East Asia Summit. In the ASEAN-Russia meeting, Indonesia will act as a coordinator, and President Joko Widodo will submit the ASEAN Common Statement, which contains the views of ASEAN countries towards Russia. Indonesian President Joko Widodo, or Jokowi, is scheduled to meet Russian President Vladimir Putin on the sidelines of the ASEAN Summit in Singapore from November 13 to 15. The Director for ASEAN External Cooperation of the Ministry of Foreign Affairs, Benny Siahaan, stated in Jakarta on Thursday. He added it will be the first time Putin will come for the ASEAN plus Russia, or ASEAN plus one meeting. One of the reasons is probably because Indonesia is the coordinator of the meeting, and so Putin has asked for a meeting with Jokowi. At the ASEAN-Russia meeting, Jokowi will convey the common view of the Association of Southeast Asian Nations member countries to Russia. The 10 ASEAN member countries and Russia will also discuss efforts to increase cooperation in several fields such as cyber security and education. Joko Widodo will attend the 33rd ASEAN Summit with a theme of ASEAN Resilient and Innovative that the association has carried so far under Singapore's chairmanship. During the 3-day meeting, Jokowi is scheduled to attend 17 meetings, including ASEAN Plus 3, East Asia Summit, and several ASEAN Plus 1 meetings. President Joko Widodo will continue negotiations on Regional Comprehensive Economic Partnership, RCEP, during the 33rd ASEAN Summit scheduled for November 13 to 15 in Singapore. The President held a limited meeting with his ranks and files at the Presidential Office in Jakarta on Thursday to discuss preparations for his overseas trip next week. Indonesian Foreign Minister Retno Epimasudi said following the meeting, during the ASEAN summit, the president will focus on RCEP, in which Indonesia is chairman of the negotiating team. RCEP is a proposed international free trade agreement FTA among 10 ASEAN member states, namely Brunei, Cambodia, Indonesia, Laos, Malaysia, Myanmar, the Philippines, Singapore, Thailand, and Vietnam, and 6 Asia-Pacific countries with whom ASEAN has existing FTAs, namely Australia, China, India, Japan, New Zealand, and South Korea. Retno Marsudi added, leaders of the 16 countries will give more commitments to get the RCEP negotiations concluded soon. However, she added, the negotiations involving the 16 countries will not be easy to conclude. Citing an example, she said, ASEAN member states themselves also need to negotiate RCEP through, although they have had their own commitments. She said, apart from the 10 ASEAN member states, the negotiations also involve India, China, Australia, and New Zealand. This news comes to you over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Indonesia will bring several important issues, one of which is the Indo-Pacific issue, at the ASEAN Summit and other high-level conferences in Singapore in mid-November, as stated by Foreign Minister Retno Marsudi after a limited meeting on preparation of President Joko Widodo's working visit to the ASEAN Summit in Singapore and the APEC Summit in Papua New Guinea at the Presidential Office, Jakarta, Thursday, November 8. Furthermore, Retno Marsudi explained that Indonesia also has an interest in the Regional Comprehensive Economic Partnership to finalize the concept of large economic cooperation among member countries. Insert Didabing, presenting the concept of dealing with the Indo-Pacific problems. If we look at this, it is a point where the EAS president will present the Indo-Pacific after having been discussing for 1.5 years. We have carried out intensive consultations with both ASEAN member countries and ASEAN partners. This is a journey from 2014 at a time when the EAS and the President presented our Fulcrum Maritime. In the Pacific issue has been mentioned, and that was the time when the President presents the Indo-Pacific concept. The ASEAN Summit will be held on November 13-15, 2018, while the APEC Summit will be held in Papua New Guinea on November 16-18, 2018. On the sidelines of the summit, there will be a meeting between ASEAN and ASEAN-friendly countries, including Japan, China, to Russia. Especially for the meeting between ASEAN and Russia, Indonesia will act as the meeting coordinator and will discuss cooperation between ASEAN and Russia. The Indonesian delegation led by the Director of the Ministry of Trade's Bilateral Negotiations, Nima De Ayu Martini, is conducting the second round of Preferential Trade Agreement IMPTA negotiations on Thursday, November 8, in Maputo, Mozambique. She told Voice of Indonesia on Thursday that the negotiations were a follow-up to the first negotiations, which were completed in June. She hoped that this second meeting could resolve substantive issues, and at the end of the year, business actors could immediately use them. This agreement will reduce or eliminate import duty rates for a number of products that are in the interest of both countries. Insert the dubbing. We did not choose FTA, Free Trade Agreement, nor CEPA, Comprehensive Economic Partnership Agreement, but we choose PTA, Preferential Trade Agreement. This means that we only give preferential treatment for a few products. Why? To speed up, then to be realistic too. So if the country has a new relationship, but its potential exists, we do it like this. With Mozambique, we just decided on 100 products. It is called tariff lines, so it's faster. So after negotiating twice, there has been a good prospect to complete it. Nima De Martini further explained that increasing market access to non-traditional areas, especially Africa, is one of the focuses of President Jokowi's policy in promoting national exports. Mozambique has a large market potential because it can be used as a hub for the entry of Indonesian products into the African region, especially in the South African region. There are still many potential products that have not been maximally explored. Besides that, this country produces raw materials needed by industries in Indonesia. According to her, Indonesia's potential products that can be exported to Mozambique are CPO and its derivatives, fatty acid, and soap. According to Nimade, the export of soap from Indonesia is very popular in African countries. The United Nations Agency for Education, Science, and Culture, UNESCO, organized the UNESCO Management of Social Transformation Academy, or UNESCO Moose Academy, from November 8 to 10, 2018. In his remarks at the opening of the UNESCO Moose Academy Thursday, November 8 in Pekanbaru, Riau, Program Specialist for the Social Knowledge Unit and UNESCO Humanities Jakarta, Irakli Kodeli, said this forum was a place for various parties involved to contribute by sharing experiences related to the efforts to deal with the haze hazards. Riau province is chosen as the host of the meeting because it is considered to be one of the significant areas affected by the environmental and social disaster. In addition to sharing experiences, according to Irakli, the three-day meeting is also expected to produce recommendations and input for the government in taking effective steps in handling smog.
The idea here is really to take advantage of so many preeminent experts, specialists, practitioners, being together for the next 2 days to exchange our ideas, to learn from each other about what can be done about this important issue of haze air pollution.
The UNESCO Management for Social Transformation Academy, or UNESCO Moose Academy in Pekanbaru, takes the theme Bioethics and Sustainable Science in Action to Stop Haze Pollution. Irakli Kodeli explained that the bioethic aspect was raised considering the adoption of the Declaration of Ethical Principles in the relation to climate change in 2017. According to him, the declaration underlined the importance of using science as an ethical principle in every decision made by the government, especially regarding climate change. Insert dalam bahasa Inggris. All these articles, all these principles, itu sudah dalam bahasa Inggris insertnya. Irakli further hoped that the bioethical approach in a decision-making at the government level could help bridge the various interests involved in each issue. And the last item, forestry practitioner from Bogor Agricultural Institute Bambang Saharjo on Friday, November 9 in Pekanbaru, Riau, encouraged the government to involve the community in handling the effects of forest fires and haze that often occur in Sumatra. He said that the community has the awareness to reduce forest burning activities to open land, but needs to get attention so that these changes can take place sustainably. Furthermore, according to him, the Indonesian government also needs to make arrangements related to productivity and share markets of products produced from land clearing without burning. This is an effort to ensure that what is done by the community can be continued in the future. The desire of the community to change for the better must be appreciated and should be done sustainably. The implementation of the activities in the field should be carried out on scientific rules and in accordance with the applicable rules and not only make momentary satisfaction. The resolution of the fire problem must involve all parties and also should not burden the community. Furthermore, Bambang Saharjo said that the Indonesian government also needs to build trust among the community in an effort to increase awareness of fire control efforts. According to him, this can be done by facilitating the Masyarakat Peduli Api or Fire Care Community MPA by increasing the capacity and providing more adequate control facilities and infrastructure. He also encouraged that the use of peat land for agricultural activities, which had been initiated by the community, can be supported by the government to guarantee product development and marketing efforts. And listener, to end the news, here are the headlines once again. Indonesian president is to attend the 33rd ASEAN Summit in Singapore. Indonesia focuses on Indo-Pacific at the ASEAN Summit. And listener, that's the news.
Hello, listener. Nice to be with you again in our program commentary. The title of today's is Australian Political Change in the Pacific. Australia under Prime Minister Scott Morrison's government seems more open to its neighbors in the Pacific than the previous regime. One of the reasons for this is that Australian opposition is more proactive with the Pacific region by disbursing funds worth $2 billion Australian dollars, or around 20 trillion rupiah. Based on advantage or disadvantage, in fact, Australia doesn't gain huge financial benefits by investing the amount of money. Prime Minister Scott Morrison, in her speech on Tuesday, said that Australia has its lasting interest in the Pacific region that is safe, strategic, and economically stable and politically sovereign. These aspects have become Australian perspective since China began to approach this region. China has, of course, interest in this region. With the influx of China's influence into the region, support for Taiwan is also declining. Several countries in the Pacific support Taiwan. Taiwan, which does not want to lose its Pacific supporters, competes with China after Taiwan lost support from Fiji, which chose to close relations with Taipei and open the door to relations with China. But the influence makes Australia uncomfortable. The Australian opposition, which is concerned about strengthening the influence, was first planning a proposal to strengthen Australian influence. Soon, Australia disbursed funds into the region. Apparently, Australia and China themselves face investment problems. Minister of Treasury Jost Frydenberg said that he would block China's efforts to take over the gas pipeline business in Australia, which is worth $13 billion US dollars. There are foreign ownership concerns there. In addition, Australia also prohibits Huawei's involvement in the construction of the 5G network for reasons of national security. At present, the rivalry between Australia and China in seizing regional influence should continue to maintain a peaceful Pacific. We would like to see that whether both countries will win the sympathy of the Pacific countries in an elegant manner. The answer might be at the APEC summit in Papua New Guinea, PNG, next week. Well, listener, that was commentary read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
Voice of Indonesia.
VOR. Today's sound.
Today in history. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Listener, this is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia with Today in History, a regular segment which brings back people and events from this date in the past as recorded in history. We start from a historical event which occurred on November 9, 1953. Cambodia gained its independence from France. Cambodia is a constitutional monarchy state in Southeast Asia. The country is the Khmer royal successor that has previously ruled the whole Indochina Peninsula in the 11th to 14th century. Prior to Cambodian independence, Indonesia given many assistance to the country. In 1863, King Norodom sought refuge to France. In 1867, King Norodom signed an agreement with the French party which gave Thailand the right of control to Battambang and Siem Reap provinces. Finally, the two provinces were handed over again to Cambodia in 1906 on the border agreement between France and Thailand. Cambodia then became a protectorate region by France from 1863 to 1953 as the region from Indochina colony. After the Japanese ruler in the 1940s, Cambodia then gained its independence from France on November 9, 1953. Cambodia became the constitutional monarchy under the leadership of King Norodom Sihanouk. Next, turn to another historical event which occurred on November 9, 1989, Berlin Great Wall was opened by East Germany government. The Berlin Wall is a dividing wall built by the German Democratic Republic East Germany, which separate West Berlin and East Berlin and other East German regions. The Great Wall was built on August 30, 1961. In 1989, there were radical political changes in the Eastern Bloc, which were related to the liberalization of the system of authority in the Eastern Bloc and also began to decrease the influence of the Soviet Union in countries such as Poland and Hungary. After several weeks of civil unrest, the East German government on November 9, 1989, announced that the people of East Germany could go to West Germany and West Berlin. East Germans crossed and climbed the wall, followed by West Germans on the other side to celebrate the atmosphere of freedom. A few weeks later, public euphoria and souvenir hunters finally cracked part of the wall. Most of the walls were also destroyed by the government using heavy equipment. The fall of the Berlin Wall finally paved the way for the formation of the German reunification on October 3, 1990. Now we end Today in History with a historical event about Sarwo Ediwibowo, an Indonesian military figure, passed away on November 9, 1989. Lieutenant General, retired, Sarwo Ediwibowo was an Indonesian military figure. He is father of Kristiani Herawati, former Indonesian First Lady of the 6th President Susilo Bambang Yudhoyono. Sarwo Ediwibowo has a very important role in the crackdown on the September 30 movement. In his position as Commander of Army Regiment Command Kopassus, Sarwo Ediwibowo has also served as Indonesian ambassador to South Korea and governor of Akabri. Sarwo Ediwibowo passed away in Jakarta on November 9, 1989, on the age of 64. Listener, that was Today in History.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Listener, welcome back to My Indonesia. Today we'll bring you a topic about defense industry exhibition is held again.
Indonesia in economy, international politics, sports, environment, and Pancasila, only on Indonesiaku, My Indonesia.
Indonesian Vice President Yusuf Kalla opened an international exhibition of defense industry technology in the Indo-Defense 2018 Expo and Forum at J-Expo Kemayoran, Central Jakarta on Wednesday, November 7. At the exhibition, a number of defense industry products were exhibited, such as rifles and drones. Dozens of countries and the international defense industry took part in this exhibition. In his remarks, Yusuf Kalla, as released by Antara, said that the international exhibition provided new knowledge for Indonesia and other participating countries to understand the development of the main weaponry system. The 8th Indo Defense 2018 is also an arena for Indonesia's defense diplomacy to enhance world peace and prosperity. The number of participants participated in the holding of Indo Defense 2018 was 867 defense equipment industry companies from 60 countries, including Australia, Greece, Slovakia, Saudi Arabia, and Japan. As many as 30 countries are present as pavilion countries, including Indonesia. Foreign companies that also attended Indo Defense 2018 include Rheinmetall, Nexter, Reutech, Turkish Europe's Industry Incorporation, Police Armament Group, and SVOS. The Defense Equipment Exhibition took place at G-Expo Kemayoran, Jakarta for 4 days from Wednesday to Saturday, November 10. The 8th Indo Defense 2018 is also an arena for Indonesia's defense diplomacy to enhance world peace and prosperity. The Indo Defense 2018 is participated in by 867 defense equipment industry companies from 60 countries, including Australia, Greece, Slovakia, Saudi Arabia, and Japan. As many as 30 countries are present as pavilion countries, including Indonesia. Foreign companies that also attended Indo Defense 2018, including Rheinmetall, Nexter, Reutech, Turkish Aerospace Industry Incorporation, Police Armament Group, and SVOS. The Defense Equipment Exhibition took place at G-Expo Kemayoran, Jakarta for 4 days from Wednesday, November 7 to Saturday, November 10. Meanwhile, Defense Minister Ria Mizar Yaqudu said as many as 10 ministerial-level delegates attended the event. The minister hopes that this event will become a promotional event for the defense industry in Indonesia. Ria Mizar Yaqudu is proud of holding this once 2-year exhibition. The Indo-Defense Expo and Forum is the largest defense industry exhibition in Southeast Asia. The Indo-Defense 2018 exhibition is even included in the World Defense Exhibition calendar. The Defense Industry Exhibition was held in conjunction with a military and helicopter exhibition and maritime exhibition. On the occasion, 14 companies incorporated in the Indonesia Strategic Industrial State-Owned Enterprises signed a Memorandum of Understanding. Various strategic plans are scheduled by state-owned companies with various institutions. Coordinator of BUMNIS Indonesia, Bayu Wicaksono, said the MOU signed by the leaders of BUMNIS Indonesia and its business partner companies was the first step to improve synergy through optimizing the resources of each party in the context of corporate synergy. The plan for synergy began with the signing of the MOU between the National Defense and High-Tech Industry Cluster with the Indonesian military. Listener, that was My Indonesia.
This is Ania Sana with News in Brief. Indonesian President Joko Widodo will attend the plenary session of the Association of Southeast Asian Nations Summit, or the 33rd ASEAN Summit, on November 13 in Sun City, Singapore. He will be accompanied by the Indonesian Minister of Foreign Affairs, Retno Epi Marsudi, the Foreign Minister's Director of External Cooperation, Beni Siahaan, told the media in Jakarta on Thursday that President Joko Widodo would convey Indonesia's views in the session, including the crisis in the region, including the humanitarian crisis at the Rakhine State. Indonesian President Joko Widodo is scheduled to meet Russian President Vladimir Putin on the sidelines of the ASEAN Summit in Singapore from November 13 to 15. President Joko Widodo will continue negotiations on Regional Comprehensive Economic Partnership, RCEP, during the 33rd ASEAN Summit scheduled for November 13 to 15 in Singapore. Indonesia will bring several important issues, one of which is the Indo-Pacific issue, at the ASEAN Summit and other high-level conferences in Singapore in mid-November. The Indonesian delegation led by the Director of the Ministry of Trade's Bilateral Negotiations, Nima De Ayu Martini, is conducting the second round of Preferential Trade Agreement IMPTA negotiations on Thursday, November the 8th in Maputo, Mozambique. The United Nations Agency for Education, Science and Culture, UNESCO, organized the UNESCO Management of Social Transformation Academy, or UNESCO MOOS Academy, from 8 to 10 November 2018. forestry practitioner from Bogor Agriculture Institute Bambang Saharjo on Friday in Pekanbaru Riau encouraged the government to involve the community in handling the effects of forest fires and haze that often occur in Sumatra. And listener, that's News in Brief.
Voice of Indonesia.
You're still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, broadcasting to the frequencies of 9525 kHz, 11.785 kHz, and 15.150 kHz. You can also listen through our audio streaming at www.voi.co.id. Here is our next program, Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listeners, welcome to Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary arts, fine arts and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we will introduce you Pantai Kawaliwu. Listeners, Larantuka is the capital of East Flores Regency, East Nusa Tenggara Province. The city, also called the Vatican of Indonesia, in eastern tip island of Flores. The city has interesting urban planning. The city was built long from the west to the east coast. Meanwhile, Larantuka is surrounded by mountains and sea in the south and the north, so it has beautiful natural panorama. Being called the Vatican of Indonesia, Larantuka offers spiritual tours for Christians, in which there are Easter activities held every year. This spiritual tour is one of the historical relics in the history of the Christian Catholic community in Larantuka. Besides spiritual tourism attraction, Larantuka also offers variety of natural beauty. One of the natural beauty is Kawaliwu Beach. Listeners, Kawaliwu Beach is located in Riang Kotek Village, Lewo Lema Subdistrict, East Flores, 17 kilometers from the town of Larantuka. The distance is about 1 hour from the city center by going along the east coast line towards Kawaliwu Beach. Not only presents the beauty of the sea during the sunset, but also the phenomenon of many natural hot spring comes out on the rock beach. Kawaliwu Beach is so beautiful. You can see green mountain and lush trees in the front side. At the same place, we can also see a quiet beach with very clear water. Meanwhile, on the beach, coconut trees decorate the beach. Listeners, Kawaliwu shoreline is actually not sand, not coral, but it is the rocks as the result of sedimentation such as erosion or carried by the river. It is blackish brown, very large with diameter of 1 meter up to smallest ones like marbles. Between the rocks that are neatly arranged on the beach, there are streams of warm water, whereas if it is dug much deeper, it gets hotter. All holes that have been dug will come out warm water and fresh, not salty. If you want to soak your feet on the beach, you can dig the rocks on the shoreline. Listeners, hot water on Kawaliwu Beach comes from Gunung Ile or Mandiri Padung in Lewolema sub-district. Heat from the bowels of the earth is continuously released through water flowing towards the beach. Besides soaking in hot water, just like the beach in general, you can also swim on the beach. When the afternoon comes down, don't leave the beach before enjoying the beauty of the sunset on Kawaliwu Beach. Well, listeners, that's Indonesian Wonder for today's edition about Kawaliwu Beach in Larantuka, Flores. See you in another interesting topics. Bye-bye.
Miscellany on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
Listeners of Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are, welcome back in Miscellany. In today's edition, we will inform you about Gajah Mada University students won eco-friendly business design competition in Seoul. Stay tuned with us at www.voinews.id. Listeners, Gajah Mada University students won Grandpreneur Competition 2018 organized by Global Green Growth Institute in Seoul, South Korea from October 29th until November 2nd, 2018. The five students managed to get a funding prize worth $5,000 after presenting their eco-friendly business design to institute officials. Besides the Indonesian team, other teams that won were from Uganda, Cambodia, and Morocco. Afterwards, the team representatives were invited to Korea to present their business ideas before the institute officials. Johannes Susanto, one of the team members, said that of the total participants registering, 10 finalists were selected and 4 of them were invited to the business presentation in Seoul. In this competition, Gajah Mada University team designed the business of producing organic pesticides. The business plan was prepared by Johannes along with Jonathan Ken Sorensen, Muhammad Hafiz Mahdi, Albertus Alvero Tangkilisan, Natalie Gupita Abirama, and Supervisor Wiratni Bujiyanto. They brought a business plan about the production of organic pesticides that are more resistant than ordinary pesticides. The raw material for pesticide is taken from distillates which are no longer used. Besides obtaining a small amount of business capital in this competition, the participants were also given the opportunity to learn various strategies to develop their business through mentoring activities from experts who had been selected by the institute. Listeners, this eco-friendly business design competition is a bit different because there is 10 weeks of mentoring. This institute mentoring provides knowledge on how to market and start a business. Every week, there are also assignments that must be collected. These assignments are in the form of market surveys, financial planning, and analysis of social and economic impacts. Prepare with the knowledge and capital of this competition, the students will then prepare various steps to start and develop their business that can provide economic benefits while providing a positive impact on environmental sustainability. Listeners, that was Miscellany for today featuring Gajah Mada University student won eco-friendly business design competition in Seoul. We will meet again with other interesting topics. Sampai jumpa and thank you for listening.
Again tomorrow with another miscellany on Indonesia.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listener, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are, welcome back in Music Corner, a musical segment which introduces you to some songs from Papua. To initiate our Music Corner, let's listen to Wampasi Wambarek, sung by Trio Ambisi. The song is one of the Biak traditional songs. Biak is a tribe of Papuan people who live in Biak Numfor Regency. Stay tuned.
Yeah.
Listener, that was the first song entitled Wan Pasti Wan Berek. The song tells about life when there is time to wander around and there is time to go back. This is illustrated through seagull story that exists in the lyrics. The Biak people's song has medium tempo and it is easy listening. Another Papuan song entitled Bin Yedi will be played for you. The song, which is sung by Anna Frey Singers, tells about someone who is disappointed by her lover, but she does not hate him and prays in order God always accompanies him in each of his steps. Let's listen to Bin Yedi and enjoy the song.
Malam sepi begini, ku duduk dalam keheningan. Terpintas wajahmu terbayang, tak kusangka hatiku menangis. Fazes maya cara que suaru será ina bindedi ya suara o kaku
berdoa sayang
semoga
Listener, you have just listened to the second song entitled Vinidi. The song, which has sad lyrics, is accompanied by instrument which has bold tempo. Listener, to conclude our segment, Music Corner, let's listen to the last song entitled Raisine Ma Raisine. The song, which is sung by Trio Ambisi, is composed by Wem Musido. The song tells about life of Manok Wari people. The song has medium tempo, so it is fun to sing along and dance together. Well, listener, here is Raisine Ma Raisine, and thank you for listening.
Ya mampir mesinan suara.
Voice of Indonesia.
Today's sounds.
Thank you for listening to English program from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
You can listen to our broadcast on shortwave on frequencies of 3325 kHz.
You can also tune at voinews.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, RRI Building, 4th floor, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta. P.O. Box 1157 Jakarta 10110 Indonesia. You can also join us on Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter at VOI Indonesia. Our Instagram, voice_of_Indonesia. RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying.